There we go.
Let's pray, folks, and then let's sing some good old songs. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for life and health and strength. And thank you for our food and a wee bit of fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here, and pray that you would bless it to us and find it acceptable in your sight. Lord, there's a lot going on, but we pray you now, Lord, that we would have your attention and your good hand upon each one of us. And Lord, your wisdom and guidance, especially, Lord, as we head into 2024. But Lord, thank you for loving us. And as Norman said, thank you for your help and strength and wisdom and guidance and for your grace and for your patience with us. I love you and thank you. We ask all this, Lord. And of course, for private prayer requests and petitions. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Alright, 448. This is the reason we have met. So let's worship. 448.
We don't know that either.
Of course, if I put the actual, not the actual pen number in.
You put 448 in.
Lord, our God, fill you with
Let's scoot over to the wee handbook. Wee black one, number 16. Number 16. And we will sing number 16. Yep. Number 16.
Oh, yes. Yes. Great one.
Let's stand as we sing. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. O God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall he say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Amen.
Thank you.
that was in no way an attempt to drop a hint about shortening the service. Wasn't it? We see it that way. Thank you. We have our musical duet again, Mr. Bradfield and Mrs. Bradfield. If you would like to come up and play for us, please, we would greatly appreciate it.
It's 187 in the hymn book if you want to sing along. It's a nice, simple one, Jesus Loves Me, 187. Before we start, I just want to say how much I enjoyed today. I hope you all enjoyed it. Just sitting and visiting with each other and this Prize of Heaven Wednesday. And it's just been a nice way to end the old year and start the new year. And it's all because Jesus loves us.
Yes, amen.
Or can we have Jesus?
Jesus loves me.
Oh, you're sorry, right?
And see.
Next, if you'd like to take and turn 261 in the big books, turn your eyes upon Jesus. If you're fit, we'll stand as we sing 261, turn your eyes upon Jesus. very much indeed. If you would like to join me in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, you can either work your way from Genesis or start working your way back from the index in your Bible, but we're going to be in Revelation chapter 1. I want to speak for, just bring you a few thoughts on the subject of beginnings and endings. Beginnings and endings. I thought it was quite apt, seeing as we stand now, I think, what is it, about 9 hours from the end of 2023, and 9 hours and a fraction of a second from 2020, it's not about 9 hours. What is it? It's just over 9 hours. And just over 9 hours to the start of 2024, in this last book of the Bible, at the beginning of the end of the Bible. So if you would like to begin here, just look at Revelation chapter 1. We'll start at verse number 1 and we'll read through to verse number 11. The Word of God says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh in the cloud, cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book, and send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea." And we are going to stop there. We're going to take the words of the Lord as he passed them on to John, where he said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, or the first and the last." Let's have another word of prayer, and then we will begin. Well, if you would, brother, would you pray first?
Yeah, Lord, thank you for everything you've given us thus far today, Lord. We pray for us as we start a new year, Lord. We pray for us and pray for our families, Lord. And pray for them also, Lord. Give them a message to you, to them by your Son, by the Holy Spirit, Lord. Teach those mighty and powerfully saved today throughout this land and throughout this world, Lord, through churches. Near and far, Lord, see us those mighty apart from the good name be praised and offered by the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give Mark and us spirit from you, Lord, and give the message, Lord, and may we stay blessed today, Lord, and bless and give your Frank and Dr. Shine as they travel, keep it safe from the Lord, and help Frank to be sent to London safe and securely as well, Lord. Also, we have called, Lord, keep it safe from the Lord, bring him back to church. We have Stephen Pat, we have Stephen Estias as well, Lord. Also, see us. David, Carl, and John, and well, save the souls, my end path, Lord. And come and give Mark this prayer, Lord, and set a fire in our hearts, Lord, glory and honor and glory to Jesus Christ the King.
Amen. Amen. This is an interesting and out in the world much underlooked at book, but there are some very precious promises there for anybody that will have a read at this. There is a certain order in which things come to us, and you may have noticed even as the Lord blessed the food that he fed the 5,000 with and the 4,000 with, that he blessed the food, he gave it to his apostles, his disciples, and the disciples handed it out to the people. This revelation is from our Heavenly Father to his Son, which was then sent to his angel, to his servant John. That's the order of things coming down here. And this is John's testimony of all of the things that God showed him. I'm going to zip to the very end of our little reading. John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos because he preached the gospel. And this whole book is the fulfillment of God's promise to John that he would see Christ again. Remember at the end of John, whenever Peter was forgiven the 3 times for rejecting him or betraying him, he said, Peter, lovest thou me, if you recall. And he said it 3 times, he said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, and feed my sheep. And it says that Peter was grieved, and I believe that that was the last cup of sorrow squeezed from his heart at rejecting God. And as soon as he felt the likeness, he said, what's he doing, Lord? The Lord said, of course, you've got your stuff to do. Don't worry about anybody else. You just do what I tell you to do. But he said, if I want him to hang around until I come again, well, what is that to you? Just do what I ask you to do. And here we have Jesus literally coming to John and showing him the end of all things. Here's a promise for you. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words. Remember we were talking about hearing and receiving the words of the Lord earlier on. And keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So first of all, there's a blessing on you when you read the book of Revelation, because it is an eye-opener. There is a reason the Roman Catholic Church never, hardly ever refers to Revelation, and never refers to Revelation 17 and 18, because it shows the Roman Catholic Church to be the great whore of Babylon. And so many of the churches that come out of her are referred to as, well, harlots, religious harlots. But there's a blessing because it opens your eyes to things and helps you to see things. Hear the words of this prophecy. Read them, listen to them, but more importantly, remember them. Keep them, for the time is at hand. So this whole book was written to the 7 churches in Asia Minor. Of course, it has gone to many, many other churches. And Jesus gives us a little bit of his testimony here. He was, and he is, and is coming back again. In other words, he has always been. He is God Almighty. I used to point there because there used to be a verse, the very first verse of Scripture, in the beginning, God. And that was God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. He became the Son when he was given to us. But Jesus was, and then he is, whenever the Gospel was written, and he is to come. This is our God, our Savior. Now here's another little promise, or maybe a little bit of information for you and I. God made us kings and priests unto him. We are made kings and priests. When we become saved, when we repent of our sins, when we read the Bible, when we understand that the Bible tells us we have broken God's commands, therefore we are guilty sinners and we need him to save us, and we say, Lord, I'm truly sorry for my sins and going to turn away from them. Will you please save me? You're saved. But more than that, you are made the son of a king, You are made a joint heir with Jesus Christ. What does that make you? The Bible says kings and priests. Does anyone recall to mind the promise that the Lord made to Peter? He said, I'm giving you the keys to... I think they say something about the keys to heaven. Whatever you lock in this world, they lock in heaven. Whatever you loose in this world, they loose in heaven. But those same keys are given to you, friends. You quite literally are become containers of the Scriptures, living, breathing examples of what the Scriptures can do in a life, but also so that you can speak those words to souls. And they don't go looking for a king to give comfort to someone that's dying. You don't go looking for a scientist to give comfort to someone that has lost a loved one. It is a priest. And I don't mean a Catholic priest. I mean a real, honest-to-goodness priest. Someone that stands with the Holy Spirit in their hearts that can speak the words of eternal life to a soul that has stepped off into eternity. That can comfort someone that has lost something, that has just stepped off into eternity. And remind them at that time that that person, whilst they may have stepped away from you or I, never stepped out of the palm of God. God will keep you in the palm of his hand, and no man can pluck you or any other saved soul out forever. So whilst we're separated from each other for a little bit, we will never be separated from God. And that promise, sometimes whenever grief and tragedy grab a hold of us, it wears us down really, really quickly. And it is good to know there is somebody there in this world that will stick their arm under yours and lift you up and comfort you with the words that God gave to him that you were maybe not fit to receive. That is the job of a priest, to bring comfort at those very difficult times. And guess what, friends? You and I, we're kings and priests. Our kingship will be revealed whenever we step off of this mortal coil, but our priesthood, if you want to call it that, there's never been a greater time for it than right now. Verse number 7 might seem quite innocuous. It says when Jesus comes back, every eye will see him. A lot of people don't actually realize what that verse means. That is talking about a worldwide communications network. Because if Jesus came back here in this world, only people in Derry would see him. If he came back in New York City, the only people in New York would see him, and maybe they do need to see him. They certainly do need to see him. Or Washington, or London. There's a lot of people need to see Christ, but the Bible says when he comes back, every eye will see him. So everybody's going to be looking at their phone, even as the cameras look up into the sky in Israel, and everybody will have the opportunity to see Christ coming back in the clouds to rule and to reign from Israel. So it speaks of huge technological advances from these days. It speaks of a global communications network. I think it was Arthur C. Clarke actually, in quotes, prophesied about that about 60 or 70 years ago. And it doesn't say they're all going to be happy. In fact, it says they'll all be terrified, they'll wail because of him. And do you know why? Because when Jesus comes back, most of the people on the earth will have just gone through 21 judgments. Half of the world's population, at least, will have perished in them. There will have been a purge on anybody that dares to speak the name of Jesus Christ the proper way. There will be an awful persecution, even on the children of Israel, where the Bible says they shall look on him whom they pierced. The Jews will look and see him, and they will wail because they will realize at long last just exactly what they've done. And the Lord will save them as a nation, I do believe. Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. And he says that twice. We're not going to worry too much about the Lord's instruction to spread it to the churches in Asia Minor. But friends, we need to realize that God is the Alpha and Omega. I want to refer to the things that are going on today. We spoke a little bit about TV and the filth and the paganism and all the things that are contained in it that are designed to do nothing but pander to people that have no self-control and are designed to inflame lusts in our lives that will destroy us. This is what's on TV. We have going into the schools this RSE that is designed to do the same in little children that have no modicum of self-control or containment or have experienced those things before and are not able to contain them. It will destroy them. We see it in the children's literature. We see it in the cinemas. We see it on the billboards. We see it in the stores. Things everywhere that are designed to chip away at you and I, at our standards, at our character, at the things that we wrap around us to protect our souls, even if you want to put it like that. Jesus knew these things were coming. And that is why in these last days, which have been happening since Christ gave his life on the cross, that is why in these last days, the Bible promised in the Old Testament that he would pour his Spirit out on all flesh. Now, some people might be saying, does that mean lost people too? It does. That's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's when the Holy Spirit comes to you, taps you on the shoulder and says, you need to get saved. Now, he might not say it like that. He might say, do you know that's wrong? And God says that's wrong. The Bible says it's wrong. The preacher said it was wrong. You heard that guy standing in the corner of the street saying that was wrong. You got a little piece of paper in through the door and it said that was wrong. The Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh, on Putin and Xi Jinping, on Joe Biden and President Trump and Rishi Sunak and whomever else might happen to be leaving the country at the moment or driving their country into the ground. And reminds them daily, except those ones that God has basically done with, the reprobates, you must be born again. But for you that are saved, for you that repent of your sins, literally tear them from your heart, and ask Christ to forgive you, ask God to forgive you, and accept the work of Christ on the cross as your full, not just the beginning of your salvation, but the end of your salvation too, God will give you the Holy Spirit. You are quite literally an empty spiritual container into which God will pour the Holy Spirit. It's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism, if you like, of the Holy Spirit. It happens the moment that you are saved. You are marked and saved, a little bit like Noah's Ark. The hand of the Son will hold you and never let you go. The hand of the Father will hold you and never let you go. You're saved on the outside, but on the inside, you are saved until the day of your redemption by the Holy Spirit. That is the start of your salvation, friend. That is your eternity. You are saved for the end of ages of eternity, but you have a life right here. You have a life right here to live first. And I heard someone say, sort of phrase it like this, they're like three salvations. And I'm not being heretical, bear with me. The first one is the saving of your immortal soul for the endless ages of eternity, and that's what happens to you. You are saved from the consequences of sin whenever you accept Christ as your Savior. And then every day as you live here, the Lord God will give you everything that you need to save yourself from the power of sin in your life. You can be saved from the power of sin. And then someday when this life is over and you do what everybody else has done, you trip over yourself a few times, you make mistakes, but you learn. Remember, you might fall, but get back up again and get going again. Someday, you will close your eyes in this life, or maybe we'll be caught up in the air to be with the Lord. I'm looking for that one. And your sin nature will be gone. And you will be saved even from the presence of sin, from the consequences, the penalty of sin, saved from the power of sin, and finally saved from the presence of sin. God intends to do that. And if you're here and listening now, as a Bible-believing Christian, your soul is saved. And God has everything that you need right now to save you from the power of sin. You know all the temptations that whisper and prod? All of those things, God has the power to save you from that. Should it be that you quite literally think, well, God, you saved me from cigarette smoking. I will not put another weed in my mouth. I will not put another drink in my mouth. I am not going to go out chasing wee boys or wee girls. I am not going to steal or to lie or to cheat. You gave me the power to overcome that. And even though there's a little bit of me would love to do those things, I won't, because I don't want to let you down. That's being saved from the power of sin. Or even better, when God just takes that away with the sins that you have repented from, and you feel no inclination towards that whatsoever. That is God working on your day by day saving of your life. And he's not going to leave it half done, Christian. Even if you're the most backslidden, compromised, and we spoke about them earlier on, even if you're the most ignorant Christian that knows nothing about God whatsoever, he is going to try day by day. And someday, whenever you get to the end of your life, he's still going to give you a brand spanking new glorified body, just like Jesus. No aches or pains, tears or fears, no sin nature. Never again. Never again. You never have to taste of death again. Never have to worry about falling and breaking your arm and 20 years down the line it aching every time the weather changes. Never have to worry about that again. That is you completely and utterly saved for the endless ages of eternity. Now the one will lead to the other, but the labour and the work and the onus is all in Jesus Christ to provide that power. But he also desires, and in order to save your life day by day, requires your cooperation. Not just for your salvation. Whenever it comes to your provision here in this world, if you love the Lord, and I pray that you do, because he certainly loves you, he is going to keep provisioning you. I know in this world our example is parents with children, and the desire of the parent is to give everything to the child that the child needs so that they are able to look after themselves when they grow up. That is a parent's job. And even as a parent, like my dad here, to come up and help his nearly 60-year-old son to clear out his garage and to fix his roof. It is always the desire of the father or the mother to help their children. You know what, God is not going to cut us loose. There will never be a point where we graduate to be like God. We will be the son of the most sons or and daughters of the most high God. But we are never going to surpass him. He will always be our heavenly father. And we will always be his children. And he will always want to give us good things. In fact, Bible says that eye has not seen and ear has not heard and neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. As Jesus spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees, he said to them, look, you're as bad as all get out, and you still look after your children. How much more do you think that your Father in heaven wants to give his children good things? And that doesn't mean, Lord, I need a new car and I would like if it wasn't any taller than 4 foot. It was only about 4 inches off the ground and it had Lamborghini in the back. That doesn't mean you're going to get that. He will provision you. He will give you what it is that you need. And he'll give it to you just when you need it. But I'm going to tell you a thing, friends. Most times, we don't need stuff. All we need is God's arm around us and to be pointed in a direction and given a little bit of guidance or given a little bit of help or having just a little bit of information that we normally wouldn't get because we stopped and listened to God. You think of the big difference that a couple of words made to Nathaniel as he sat under the fig tree. Was it Philip came running up to him? Nathaniel, we find the guy, it's the Christ, we find him. Yeah, where's he from? It's Jesus of Nazareth. There's no good thing ever came out of Nazareth. But I'm coming anyway. And so they hurried off to see Jesus, and Jesus said, behold a man in whom is no guile, an Israelite in whom is no guile. Nathaniel said, how do you know me? Jesus said, I saw you sitting under the fig tree before you got here. That was all he needed. That was all that he needed. How many people only needed a word? That was all he needed. Just a word. And it's full on. It's full of words. It's full of encouragement. It's full of salvation. It's full of prophecy. It's full of comfort. It's full of strength. It's full of protection. And until the day that you die, you will always find a use for some of it. You will always find a use for some of it. I don't know about you. Very few books I've ever read twice. Very few books. I think I maybe read the Star Wars books. Oh, I used to read a British publication called 2000 AD. And I remember on some long, wet Saturday afternoons, I had a box of a couple of hundred. And maybe once every year, I would open that box and I would start reading about Judge Dredd and Dan Dare. And I would just read them all. That's the only thing I think I would have read maybe as many times as the Bible. Your birth in Jesus Christ should be the first day that you start really reading and hearing and understanding the Bible. And the day that you close your eyes in this world should be the last day that you open your Bible and you read it. But even in heaven, I am looking forward to listening to the Word of God explaining to us the whole Bible, all the wee links, all the wee intricacies, all of the prophecies. I'm looking forward to that. I'm glad he put it to here, even this book. And if you think for a second the amount of effort required to keep it here, do you know how many ministers hate the King James Bible? They hate it. Most of the ministers in the Presbyterian Church, most of the ministers in the Church of Ireland Church, most of the ministers in the Methodist, all of the priests, they hate the King James Bible. Because there is a power, there is an authority, and there is a gravitas, a weight with these words of God that will never, ever go away. They have a habit of reaching into people's souls and grabbing their hearts and squeezing. And that, as long as there's men in the face of this word, that'll never go away, that'll never stop. And that is called, again, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. God is never going to stop that as long as there are souls to be saved. There is so much. You and I, for instance, I don't know what goes on in your personal life other than what you tell me. But God is not done with you. If you find the strength to be in church today, God is not done with you. God has a path for you. And he will see you along that. And he will make sure you get the encouragement to go along that path. There are times whenever he will just let us walk on maybe a step or two, and it might seem like things are a bit lonely and there's nobody beside you and nobody behind you, but God never takes his eyes off of you, friends. He loves his children. And he knows full well what the world, the flesh, and the devil can do to his children. And that is why he has an ongoing Bible study plan and an ongoing walk with him, One that will finish with our feet sat in front of, as many people would say, the pearly gates. And even then, whenever our lives here are over and our sin nature is done, our lives don't stop. There's praises to be sung. I don't know if you enjoy singing song. You might find it difficult to enjoy singing a song if you're not musical, but you can certainly enjoy a song. There's songs to be sung. There's praises to be lifted up. There's thanks to be given every time we see the Lord Jesus Christ as we walk the streets of gold. I think there might be tears of joy and happiness as we say, well, Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for directing me. Thank you, Lord. And I don't know about you, but what was it you called your family? The double thankers or something like that?
Overthankers.
There you go. We like to thank people for the things that they do for us. I think everybody will become an overthanker in heaven. But life will never end. For the endless ages of eternity, being the children of God, doing what he asks us to do, going where he sends us to go. I don't know what he has for us, but I do know this. The former things will have passed away. The things that used to annoy us. Sorry. The things that annoy us. The things that hurt us. The things that bring a tear to our eyes. The things that really rile us up. God has promised. Because I am sure many people would wonder, Lord, there's even some Christians in heaven whose behinds I would like to kick, or necks I would like to wring, because we're human. But God has promised us all those things will be gone, will be passed away. And I got to thinking about that one time. And I thought, Lord, if everything of this world is gone whenever we get to heaven, how many Christians would even be able to read and write? Would be so little. Only bits that would go on would be the time you spent in church, or the time you spent in the Bible, or the time you spent in prayer. How little of us would end up in heaven? I'll tell you one thing. That's just a vain, what do you call that? A vain deceit. I don't know what it's going to be. I just know that all the things that thrill us the most in this world won't even come close to open our eyes in heaven in these glorified bodies and seeing the man that gave his life on the cross for us. As we look down on how many Christians have died with broken and bent over bodies, with ill health, just lungs rasping for breath and hearts that tremble whenever they struggle to get on their feet. And we'll only be in heaven for a second when we look at our perfect skin and our joints and no more aches around our neck and the hairs all come back and teeth are all there. We don't have this ringing in me. And we see the man that gave his life for us stand in front of us with his hands outstretched saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. It will be done when you get there. And I guarantee you, Christian, God is the Alpha and Omega. He started a work in each one of our lives when we repented of our sins and trusted him as Savior. And he will not stop until you're saved and standing in front of him in glory. And even then, he's not going to be done with you. You'll still be one of many favorite sons and daughters of the King of Kings. And you know what, friends? I look forward to that day. I still have a few things I'd like to do here, a few avenues that I'd like to explore about reaching people for Christ. But I'm looking forward to that day. I guarantee you. Just like the grey hairs and the wrinkles, That day'll be on you an awful lot quicker than you think. Friends, God bless you. God is not done with you. Keep your eyes on him and keep your ears open for him. Amen. Okay. Could we have another hymn picked? But I do not see any that have a weak place in them. If anybody would really like for a hymn to be sung, now would be the time to say it. Otherwise, I have a book full of them. Have you got one line that you would like for us to sing? You know what? Why don't we sing number 2 in the wee black book? Mrs. Bradley. Are you going to come up with one there, are you?
Well, that's okay. When you asked
Wing
and then you said, let's sing such and such, I just laughed. She didn't have time to
say it. Oh, she shook her head at.
Oh, okay.
You only see half of what I see everything else. You think I was being mean, darling?
No, I just thought you moved on pretty quickly. My apologies. That was a point. I keep saying the wrong thing today.
Let's stand and sing about this blessed old book. To an empty church, and it's not as much fun as preaching to a church with people in it. I have 2 years of that, and I like it better this way. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads, and we'll be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this last day of 2023, and what better place to spend it than in your house. Please bless us as we go our separate ways, Lord, and prepare our hearts and minds to meet 2024. Lord, be with us and don't neglect us or let us go and don't be done with us, Lord. There's lots to be done and time to do it. And thank you for the life and health and strength that you've blessed each one of us with. Please, Lord, consider our private prayer requests and petitions and the battles that we're fighting, Lord. And I pray that you'll look after Frank as he travels. Thank you for bringing Colin safely back, and we look forward to having Pat and Steve with us. love you and thank you. And we leave all of these things at your feet, Lord. Thank you for saving us. We love you, Lord. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands. Fellowship for a love.